They make things look appealing because they want to sell something, right? What are the three steps to making a good presentation? There are three basic steps in every good presentation. Well, that's the point of this presentation, is to teach you those three steps. Lord willing, by the end of this, you'll know what they are. The goal of this is to identify and discuss three steps for catching your students. Number one, step number one is the bait. It can also be called your introduction. The purpose of this is to get their attention. Right, why is it that vehicle manufacturers are constantly changing the style of their vehicles? And why do car salesmen wash these vehicles and keep them shiny and so on? Because they're trying to do what as you drive by? They are trying to
get your attention.
They have to do that or you would never buy a new car. Okay. The second step is the bite. This is the explanation. This is when that car salesman comes out there and starts praising the vehicle that he's going to try to sell you. This is trying to keep your attention. It may even involve a test drive where they're trying to get you to start to experience this thing a little bit. And the final step of every presentation, every good presentation, I should say, is the catch. This is the application, right? It's the purpose of this is to guide the student's attention in the classroom. This is what happens for a car salesman when the person has actually purchased the vehicle and is driving it off the lot. They have applied the sale. He's done. Takeaway for today. The teacher is responsible to cause the student to learn. In law, for a criminal to get a reduced sentence, he has to own his crime. Okay? I want you to own teaching. It is your crime. It's not a crime. Don't get me wrong. But a criminal who comes into the courtroom and says, yeah, I did it, but who cares? Do you think the judge is going to have mercy on that person? Absolutely not. The one who walks in and says, you know what, judge? I drove by the car lot. I saw that shiny truck. The guy took me for a test drive. He told me it was way better than my old one, and I didn't have the money, so I robbed the bank. He owns his crime. It was his own fault. Own your responsibility as a teacher. A quote by a man named Patrick White. I forget what I was taught. I only remember what I learned. Another way to say that is if they aren't learning, you aren't teaching. Let me qualify that statement in just a little bit here. So have mercy on me. To teach, the teacher must cause the student to learn. The teacher is responsible if the student is not learning. The teacher controls the subject, the style, and the speaker. Therefore, the teacher has not only the ability, but also the responsibility to change the subject, improve the style, and inspire the speaker to equip the student. Does this mean that every lesson you teach, if you teach it right, that the students will remember it for the rest of their life? Absolutely not. A student learning and taking three steps forward one day and two steps backward the next day is quite typical. Very few students are A-plus students. In fact, Jesus even had a rogue student in his own classroom. We call him Judas Iscariot. I told you that if they aren't learning, you aren't teaching. I don't want you to say, oh, there's exceptions to that, so now that doesn't apply to me, but I will give you an example of an exception to this. How many of you all believe that paper burns if you hold a match up to it? 100% of the time. Paper always burns, you hold a match to it. Matt doesn't think so. Are you willing to hold this piece of paper while I hold a match to it? Are you
sure.
Brave?
Sure.
He is, very good. He's a brave man. Come on up here. Thank you for being involved.
Fire suppression there.
Don't worry. Please hold that piece of paper. Huh. That's not always true. Okay, now, had I handed it to him the other way, he would have been in trouble. So we know that wet paper doesn't burn. You know, wet students don't learn either. Okay, I'll just give you an idea. No, there you go. So there are exceptions to the rule. However, please don't say, well, all of my students are wet. I can't help it. They're not learning. Don't do that, okay? To teach, the teacher must not only present new concepts and processes, but also change the way the students think. That father had to change the way his daughter thought about worms. And the way that they respond to life, to teach, is to improve the life of the person being taught. If the purpose of your teaching is to make yourself look good as a teacher, you are wasting your time. The purpose of my job as an instructor here at this institute is to improve your ability to teach your students. The purpose of you teaching in your classroom is going to be improving the lives of the children you're teaching. If you're teaching for any other reason, please quit. And don't tell your school board I said that, by the way. I don't want to be getting nasty calls from school boards. All right. But what I'm telling you is have the right purpose in your heart. To teach is to cause the student to apply the knowledge and then apply it some more and continue to apply it in his life. How do we get a student to apply a new concept? The first thing we have to do is to get the student's attention. So now we're going to talk about the bait some more, or the introduction. I'm going to be using an example from Scripture of the best teacher whom I know, Jesus Christ. When he taught a very willing student, although in many people's minds she was an unlikely student, I'm going to be using the story of the woman at the well to learn from a master teacher. I should say the master teacher. First of all, for the bait to work, it has to appeal to your group. All right, letter A there. Must appeal to your group. To catch fish, you have to use a lure that appeals to the fish. How many of you have gone fishing? Good. This is way better than the last time I asked that question, okay? What do you do if the fish aren't biting?
Change something up.
What do you usually change? The fish? What do you do?
Change the lure.
You have to change your lure, okay? Sorry, but you're going to be stuck with the same fish for the whole year, okay? So, if they're not biting, and many of you who have gone fishing know that the same lure doesn't even work in the same place with the same fish the next day, okay? It's the same way it is in your classroom. The thing that worked today might not work tomorrow or the next day. So, you need to make sure that your bait appeals to your group. You have to get their attention. And if the bait that you chose to use today isn't working, change the bait. Okay? Number one, sell yourself. Jesus did this. He wanted to talk to this woman about water, so he sat on top of a
well.
And then when she walks up, he says,
"Give me a drink.
Give me a drink." Let's get this thing started off. One of the best ways to start a class is with a question. Whether it's a question about something that students already know, such as a review question, which is the way I start probably 90% of my classes, or a question about something that they don't know. For example, do you know how to find the square root of infinity? Don't even try. Okay. Number one, dress for success. If you are teaching lower grades, please dress in bright colors like Katrina Stoltz's right here. All right? I'm just going to tell you that you're dressed nicely for a lower grade teacher. All right? Anna's maybe just on borderline. Danielle, that wouldn't be the greatest choice if you're going to be in front of first and second graders. I want to be realistic here. All right? If you're teaching upper graders, dark, more subdued colors are better. All right? They're going to actually... It's just part of life, all right? Use active posture. Standing or kneeling are both better postures for teaching than sitting. However, if you are sitting in a teacher's chair and it happens to have wheels on it, please put several miles a day on that chair. Okay? Do that. Make eye contact. However, be careful because making eye contact, you want to not always look at the same person. They tend to become a little bit concerned about the teacher staring them down, and they start to blush and so on because they, about 2 seconds per student, and I actually teach my students that. When you're standing up speaking, look around the room and pause for not more than 2 seconds per person, otherwise they start thinking that you're preaching at them. All right. Okay. Move, walk, gesture, point to things. All right. That helps keep your students' attention. They are much better at chasing a moving target. They're good at that. Smile, please, right away. In fact, I'm going to give you some practice. All of you ladies standing against the wall, I want you all to stand up and just smile at the room. Nice big smiles, all together. Thank you. Good job. All right. You need to be good at that. Invite. You need to use welcoming body language. For example, if I want Jeremy to come up here, I could say, Jeremy, would you notice I'm doing two things. I'm talking to him plus motioning. You don't have to, actually. Come up here. But use inviting body language. All right? And this can actually be done when you are answering a question. For example, if Byron has a question, rather than standing here where I'm looking down at him to talk to him, I'm saying, okay, now what's the problem that you've been facing? And then it's, you know, all of a sudden what's happening, I'm below his eye level, or at least at his eye level. This is an inviting posture for him. He feels like he is no longer being looked down on. Okay? Your children feel things like that. They feel your posture. Use inviting posture. All right, so those of you on the back bench, yes, all of you on the back bench, I'm going to have all of you just stand up and use an inviting posture. You're just going to stand up and go like this and smile at the same time. Okay? So all together, you can stand and extend your arm and smile. Thank you. That was very inviting. If I was one of your students, I would love to see that happening in my classroom. Reassure your students. Start with what they know. Give them commendation. I hope you all feel good about what you've been doing. I want you to feel that you're accomplishing something in this class along with me. Number two, sell your subject. Jesus wanted to talk about water. He started right off talking about water. And by the way, his student already had a knowledge of water. She said, well, what are you doing over here wanting a drink and you don't even have something to draw with? All right, we'll get to why Jesus didn't have a jug. He was trying to stir curiosity. Okay? He doesn't have a jug. She said, you don't have a jug. Have any of you been wondering about this stuff on the board? Good. Stay that way. All right. To stir your students' curiosity, use the board. Does anyone know what this is? Well, my buddy Rico over in the Philippines is building a house. And in the Philippines, they have to build their houses up on stilts because they have these big floods where water comes in and would wash the house away. But they built it on stilts, so these are the posts for Rico's house, and there's 8 feet in between each of these posts every which way. So how big is his house? This diagram is supposed to help you figure that out. Now, actually, you don't have to figure that out, but what I'm just showing you is that I drew your attention to the board before I had your curiosity going on before we ever got started talking about things. Jesus did this. You should do it too. All right? Use objects without explaining them. For example, has anyone been wondering why the orange is up here? Some of you, maybe? Good. All right, we'll talk about that in just a minute here, too. Use stories without ending them. I love doing this to my students, and they just, it's one of those things that makes them groan. You heard Howard being talking about making the students groan. For example, when I was young, we lived on a turkey farm for a while, and I had this great big truck. It was an old army truck with no doors on the sides. And very, very aged vehicle. And loaded down, it weighed about 20 tons. And this, our turkey farm was way up on the top of this big hill, and from the top of the hill, the road went down the hill into a little valley, and there was a T-junction at the bottom. And one day, I was fully loaded, left the farm, came to the top of the hill, and tapped the brakes, and the brake pedal went all the way to the ground. All right, the other thing you should do is use pictures. Without explaining them. Does anyone know what this is?
Not that.
It's my friend Rico. I've been talking about him and you all missed it. Alright. Use misquotes, but make them obvious. Ladies, please stay with me for a little bit. See, the other day, I was working at the bakery. By the way, I really do work at a bakery when I was baking bread. And so I put it in, you know, 2 1/4 cups of sugar, and then 2 cups of salt, and
yucky.
Thanks! Okay, do you know that students just love to connect their teachers? When their teacher makes a mistake, they like to connect them. Okay, they like to say, hey, that wasn't right! Alright, it's okay for you all to connect me when I'm making a mistake up here, by the way. Oh, thank you! Thank you, someone is paying attention! I love it when that happens. All right, so part of the bait. All right, your students are up here, yeah, teacher's droning on again, big deal. And then they're like, wait, he said two what? The song? That's one of the methods of getting their attention. All right, use unpredictability. Heads down, thumbs up, no peeking allowed. Everybody, heads down, thumbs up, no peeking allowed. How many ounces in a pound?
15.
How many pounds in a ton?
2,000.
How many pounds in a long ton? How many tons in a loaded semi? Heads up, seven up. All right, you know, children occasionally like it if the teacher does something rather unpredictable. Yes, guys along the wall do get some too. Hopefully there's some for everyone. Sorry.
Well, we are here anyway.
All right.
Thank you.
You're all very welcome.
Appreciate it.
Very welcome. Build the need in the student's heart. Okay, this is part of your bait. When this lady came to the well, why did she come to the well? Why do people go to wells?
Draw water.
Because why? They're thirsty. All right. Can you make your students get thirsty? Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard the saying, you can't force a horse to drink, but you can
lead him to the water
trough, and you
put
can also put salt in his oats. Okay? You can do both of those things. Lead him to the water trough and put salt in his oats. Jesus did this with her. Display the value of what you're talking about. Jesus is already there at the well. He wants to talk about water. Describe the need. One time my students and I were part of a schoolhouse cleaning, and they shampooed the rug in the schoolroom. And then we moved the desks in and sat them there. And the first day of school we came, and can you guess what we found underneath each desk? Nice round rust spot. And I said, and this is why we teach chemistry. And they were all like, uh-huh, and you knew better. Yeah, I did. And so on. That's what we talk about, chemistry. Have any of you ever tried licking a cold piece of metal? Yes. All right. So then you can talk to them about that. Wouldn't it have been better if you'd known what was, you know, what goes on? And so on. That's what so then you start describing to them the need. You can do this. You can salt your students' oats by telling them to watch for things. For example, you might tell your students to watch for speakers at teachers' meetings who make mistakes in their use of words. All right. Please don't tell any of the other speakers that I told you to do that. All right. Sell your introduction. It's good to have something, whether it's a question, a statement, a story, something right away to get your students' attention. I'm going to have the third row on the ladies' side here, including Jaden. Go ahead and stand up, and you all are going to smile, and you can use a hand gesture if you like, and you'll go ahead and recite the one line for today, which is our takeaway: the teacher is responsible to cause the student to learn. You may do that at this time.
The teacher is responsible to cause the student to learn.
Thank you! You may be seated. All right. Having a line like that to deliver as soon as the students get to the class table is an important thing. In fact, studies have shown that if you want to get people's attention, you have a matter of seconds to get it. All right. So, be ready. It'd be better to pause for a little bit before having a class and in your mind develop a question or something before telling the students to come up for class time, rather than having them come up and then stammering around. Conrad already talked about starting to teach the wrong lesson or some other wonderful teacher mistake. All right, and those will happen, but don't try to let them be the norm. All right, monitor your student focus. Command versus demanding attention. For example, if I look in the back and say, "Beth, you need to listen up," okay, she's not going to feel very good about that. All right. But if I hold up a bottle of Mountain Dew and say, what does this have to do with this lesson? Well, she might start to wonder. All right, do I have a volunteer? You can't volunteer again, sorry. Thank you. All right, come on up here. You're going to help me with a little demonstration. Okay. This goes along with the sizzle thing. This really doesn't have anything to do with this class aside from getting your attention. All right. Now, very bravely, I want you to reach in here and take some raisins.
Money.
You can get a few more in there. All right. And now, close your eyes and hold your breath and drop them into Mountain Dew. You don't have to. No, you can keep your eyes open.
Go ahead and drop them in there.
Very good. That'll quit in just a moment here. And you may be seated. Thank you for volunteering and bravely dropping raisins into Mountain Dew. Now I'm commanding attention versus demanding it, right? You all want to see what's happening. Okay, well, your students like it when that happens. They like it when you do something that's so interesting they can't even help trying to see what's going on. All right. Did some of you experience that yesterday when we had some, when I was chopping a banana up here? I'm sorry that I had the people standing with their backs to you. But that's, your students enjoy that, okay? That's good. All right. Your lesson must be presented until it is bitten. That's letter B there. And there are four basic methods of doing this. You can have your students read things. You can show them a picture like this with Rico here. Or you can talk to them. That's auditory. And the other thing is to have them do something, which is why I have some of you all doing things. That's actually one of the ways that people learn, is by doing. So we can use lecture. I can tell you that a direct object is a word that receives the action of a transitive verb. All right? Or you can use discussion. For example, how many of you like peanut butter? Very good. How many think peanut butter is better than chocolate? Boy, that's a minority. Okay? That's just, you get involved. You're involved in what's happening there. Use visual aids. Those of you who are teaching lower grades, you're going to be using things like duck blossoms and whatever, posters and so on. Use those things. That's part of teaching. Use the students' five senses. When you use bananas to teach fractions, that uses all five of a student's senses. Okay, they're using their taste, feel, smell, their hearing, and their seeing. Okay, so do that. Use their imagination. You can put a student's name into a story. For example, Julia is traveling in Central America and she's on a motorcycle and driving down the road and comes around a curve and there's a bus that's being driven by a guy from a turkey farm that doesn't have any brakes. All right, we're going to go on to the bite or the explanation. Jesus did this when he revealed that what we're talking about is actually spiritual water. This part of your presentation must tie to as many known facts as possible. Okay? To keep your students' attention, you have to keep in what they know. For example, most lessons, we start by using review. That's number one there. For example, I can ask you all, what did Conrad talk about this morning? Procedures, yes, very good. So that's, you know that, all right? We're starting with what you know. Versus this. If all quichels are shipes, and some shipes are zorties, are all quichels zorties? Or even some quichels zorties? See, that's your students feel like this sometimes when you get into diving into the unknown. Let's try this again. If all Angus are cows and some cows are Holsteins, are all Angus Holsteins? Are even some Angus Holsteins? No. Okay, see? All of a sudden, we're back into the known territory. And some of you may not even have known some of those words. I don't know. Okay. So you have to start with your students' level of mastery. You have to start with what they already know. Jonathan is going to talk with you more about this when he teaches on the seven laws of learning. Seven laws of the teacher. I'm sorry, I'm getting my books mixed up. I'll let him take care of that. Number two, use the student, for example, using their name, Clayton Schrock, is building a barn. And he wonders how much lumber to purchase and so on. Use the student's home life, the animals that they have at home, their toys, use their bicycle to talk about circles if you need to, their chores, washing dishes. Can you teach about washing dishes? Absolutely. There's lessons that can be learned about procedures with washing dishes. For example, you wash the cleaner stuff first and then the dirty stuff. Use the board. Can I have a volunteer? Lucas, I would let you, but Alvin's a little closer. Would you come up to the board and write two words?
Okay.
Cause learning. Okay. Now, he'll remember that better than any of the rest of you because he was the one that got to do it. Okay. Just telling you that. Use diagrams. Do I have a volunteer to diagram the sentence cause learning? Jaden, would you please come up here and do that? Thank you, Alvin. You may be seated. Use pictures. For example, someone read Psalm 1 this week. Have you ever seen Psalm 1 in pictures? It's very easy. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You can keep going, okay? Your children will remember Psalm 1 much better after watching you just draw some basic pictures. If you read a story about an object that they do not know very much about, for example, some of your students won't understand a story about a buggy or a story about a steamboat unless you draw some pictures. Thank you, Jaden. You may be seated. I believe that is correct. I think either of his ways is actually considered correct. I think it is a verbal. But thank you for being willing to try it. Once again, he'll remember that far better than the rest of you will. All right? Use objects. Tried to impress that upon you, some of you yesterday. Please, students like real things. If they're learning about coins, have coins there for them to count. Use the real deal. Use figurative speech. Children will ask you, what is it like? And you should say, it's like whatever. For example, has anyone here ever eaten alligator? What does it taste like?
Frog legs.
Frog legs. Okay. So if you've eaten frog legs, you would maybe know. If someone hasn't eaten frog legs, I would tell you it tastes like shrimp, personally. Okay. And maybe more of you knew about that. Please don't say it tastes like chicken. But that children learn by comparisons. That's how they learn. Use examples. And the more realistic the example is, the better. For example, Dennis Sensenig was on his way to WFTI. And as he was driving, he became weary. He started to drift into blissful sleep. And he went flying off the road into the ditch. Still conscious, you know, calmly resting, unlike the rest of the people in the vehicle with him. Okay. Letter B. Must be reeled in. Sometimes once you teach a student a new thing, they want to use it for everything. For example, when Jesus with this woman at the well, she was like, if you have this water, I want it, yeah. And so he says, okay, go ahead and go home and get your husband. Children need that. I have a friend whose son was extremely mechanically inclined, and he showed his son what a ratchet was. Oh, yeah, very good. And so the next morning, when he came out to his shop, he finds his lawnmower totally disassembled. Okay, his son needed to know when it's okay to use the ratchet and when it's not. For example, can anyone tell me where we need a comma up here?
After baking.
In this one? Okay, I enjoy baking. My family and my dog. I think it needs one more.
After family.
That's right. Very good. That one was easy. Let's do this one. Let's eat Mr. Bean.
After eat.
Yeah, that would be much kinder to him.
All right.
Let's eat, Mr. Bean. All right. This one might get hotly contested in this room. Okay. A woman without her man is nothing. Where do we need a comma?
After man.
A woman without her man is nothing. All right.
After her.
A woman without her?
After woman.
Actually, that's a colon. Suddenly, it changes meanings there. A woman without her? That is nothing. By the way, does anyone know what this is? Good guesses. It's a curly-haired Mennonite girl from the back.
Okay, it's time to reel you all in here. Then you demonstrate the process.
For example, if we were talking about Riku's house, I would show you how we're going to actually calculate
how many posts it would take. So what to do and how to do it. So in this case, we draw a diagram and so on. When possible, let students guess why you're doing something. For example, I might teach you that 4 pi radius squared is the surface area of a sphere. Okay? And I can hold it up to do that. Now, why would we need to know 4 pi times radius squared? When would you ever use that? Anybody know what this is?
Water tower.
Yeah. What do water towers need about every 5 years?
Paint. Mm-hmm. Okay, see? So and if you can get your students to think of that, oh, we need to be able to calculate that so that we can paint the water tower every 5 years. Okay. Number two there, lead your students. Have problems for your students to attempt or discuss. Involve your students. For example, to summarize this presentation, we would say blank learning.
Cause
learning. Thank you. See, you got involved there. Ask questions. For example, why is there Braille at the drive-up ATM? Number three, master the irreducible minimum. Okay? In other words, boil your lesson down to as few words as possible. The takeaway for today is that the teacher is responsible to cause the student to learn, and I boiled that down to 2 words. That's all you need to remember for today, 2 words. Can you all say those words together?
Cause learning.
Thank you. Okay, that's an irreducible minimum. We can't put this thing into anything smaller than that. If your students come up to class and you tell them, today it's as easy as 1, 2, 3. They're going to be with you. Okay, they want to know that it's bite-sized for them. Limit your main points to 3 main points or fewer, if at all possible. Give them a takeaway. Tell them this is the most important thing in this lesson. And the shorter it is, the better. Once again, today's presentation, the most important thing is?
Cause learning.
Or, for example, if you're teaching English and you're teaching students about nouns, rather than saying nouns can be proper and common and plural and singular and all these other things, just tell them the most important thing for you to know is that nouns name. Can you remember that?
Personal.
No. Just I know that. I know that. That's good. No, you're way ahead of me. And that's good. That's good. You're on and beyond. But the minimum, the bare minimum to know about nouns, especially if this is the first lesson for the year about nouns, just tell them, just always remember that nouns name. Just 2 words. And they've even got alliteration going on there. All right? So there you go. That's the irreducible minimum. Try to boil your lessons down so that your students feel like they're capable of getting this. Letter C there must be netted or grasped. This is what happens when your students, the lights come on in their eyes and they start thinking that they know what you're talking about. Teach to satisfy the student's need. Jesus filled the woman at the well's need. Teach until the lights come on in your student's eyes. And until the student is working the concept. For example, Jaden can come up here and he can't just say cause learning. He understands that it means you cause learning. Right? He's working the concept of what I'm talking about. All right. That gets us to the last part of a presentation, which is the catch, or the application of the truth that you're teaching. This is what we're trying to do. Remember, we're trying to make them better. Teaching is to improve the life of someone else. You're trying to equip these students for service in God's kingdom. You know,
When Jesus was talking to the woman at the well,
he got her so excited. She was so ready to apply. One of my favorite parts of that story is where it says that she left her water pot and ran into the city. Wait, she forgot to get a drink. Have you ever been so excited about some new thing that you forgot to eat or drink? Some of you? Okay, I'm not the only person like that in the room. Good. My mom used to tell me not to forget to eat, and sometimes she really meant it, because I would occasionally. How does that happen? Letter A, must be practiced. Good teachers use at least 50% of their time having their students work. So 50% of a presentation is making you work. So the second row of ladies may please stand and recite the takeaway for today, which is that the teacher is responsible to cause the student to learn. If you don't mind, you can smile and use hand motions while you're doing it. Okay? Go ahead.
The teacher is responsible to cause the student to learn.
Thank you. You may be seated. Working equals learning. Repetition equals learning. And applying equals learning. And the more realistic the application, the better. The more that it supplies your students' needs, the better. The more it connects your students' real life, their reality, to the lesson, the better it is. It's very easy for me to tell Jaden to cause learning because he is an excellent teacher himself. Right? He can get excited about that because this applies to him. Right? Must be corrected. Unfortunately, our students often think that they understand, but they don't quite. Right? And we have, as teachers, we must do quite a bit of correcting. Jesus did this. He asked the woman at the well, go get your husband. And she says, well, I don't have one. And Jesus said, that's true. You've had five. I think he said that very gently because she didn't run screaming away from him. Okay. Your students want to be corrected gently. They want to be respected as people. So as we give correction, allow your students to retain their dignity. My wife, unfortunately, has to live with a teacher who corrects incessantly, occasionally. And so she says, I'm going to go lay down for a nap. And her husband says, lie. She says, what? I say, lie. She says, okay, I'll go lie down for a nap. Right? And so on. She very patiently bears with me. And so on. And students, well, they want to be respected. They want the correction to be gentle. So give constructive criticism charitably. Remember that the reason that you're giving it is to better whose life? Their life. Okay, that's the reason. So that can help you give it in the right tone. Along with that, it is okay for them to struggle. Okay? Remember I said the person working is the person learning? Jonathan Miller, Bing, whatever you want to call him, did some bailing a few summers ago. And the man he was working for said, "It's you're doing it about right if the bailer squeaks while it's bailing, if the belts are slipping just a little bit." You know, if your students are squeaking, but they're still bailing, that's good. That's okay. If they say this is hard, tell them that if it was easy, everybody would do it. Okay? It's okay if it's hard. And it's okay to occasionally even challenge your students. We know of people in the Bible who did this. For example, Joshua, when he said, "As for me and my house, okay." That's kind of like a leading challenge. Elijah on Mount Carmel used a different kind of challenge. He said, okay, whoever brings down fire, that's who is the Lord, and so on. And in your classrooms, it's okay to challenge your students occasionally. For example, to ask them if they'd be willing to wash the dishes for their mother that evening. Letter C must be reviewed. According to things that I've studied and read, you have to repeat something at least 8 times for people to remember it. I think that we're getting very close to 8 times with repeating the takeaway. But just to be sure, I'm going to have you all repeat it one more time. Okay? So the Thank you. Very good. Reviewing is not a waste of time. How do you remember the alphabet? Or how did you learn the alphabet? Did anyone learn it by saying A, B, C, D, E, F, G? No. You learned a song, right? Thank you. Songs are very useful in learning things. That's why we use so many jingles. When I teach my students about distance, rate, and time, I tell them, just remember the three D's. If you have the distance, you're going to divide, and it's the dividend. Otherwise, you multiply. So all you have to remember is three things. Three D's, D words, okay? And jingles like that. In music, we use all kinds of jingles. Every good boy does fine, face, all this kind of thing. Add extra facts. For example, teach beyond the lesson when I'm talking to you about commas. We throw a colon in there just to show something different. Gives them something more than just what they're learning. Drill the hard parts of the lesson. If there's a part of the lesson that you think your students will probably struggle with, spend a little extra time on that. Jonathan's going to do this when he talks to you about pitfalls. Okay. Review the directions before you let your students go back to their desks. Ask them, do you understand? And trust me, they're not always going to. Repeat the most important part of your lesson. Jesus did this when he said, I am he. We're going to just very quickly review the three parts of a presentation. I want you to have them embedded in your memory. So the first one, we called it the bait. It's also called the... And the purpose is get their attention. The second one, we called it the bite. It's normally called the... And the purpose of it is to keep their attention. The third part is the catch, or more commonly called the application. And the purpose of this is to guide their attention. Once again, the takeaway. You can fill in the blanks. The is responsible to the students to thank you. You may be dismissed. You've been an excellent audience. Thank you. I enjoy teaching about presentation. I hope you can tell.